I want to give you this term right here, and I got to, most of those, everybody up there, this is what you are. You're second mile Christians. Second mile Christians. And I'm going to tell you what that means when I get to the end of this message. I'm going to try to preach real fast so y'all listen real fast. John chapter 12. I got several verses and several things I want to talk to you about. John chapter 12, verse 24. Actually, just go to verse 26. 25. I cut one verse off. John chapter 12, verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for many things, Lord. Certainly want to thank you for the people that are serving you and serving you here, Lord, that we could have a church, Lord, a good church, and pray that we could just be effective, Lord, in getting your word out. Help us in that area. And Lord, we're thankful for the workers, Lord, all the things that goes on behind the scenes. And we're thankful for them, Lord. Thankful that we all crossed paths, that you all placed us here in this body. Lord, that we can serve you here. Help us, give us strength, give us wisdom. Lord, just fill us with your spirit each day. I pray you speak to our hearts now in the service today. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, there in verse 26, that's kind of the key I want you to see. It said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And here, listen to this. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. There shall also my servant be. Jesus said in Matthew 23:11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. He that is greatest among you, among the disciples or the believers, shall be your servant. Dr. Lee Roberson said, God is simply asking for your best in the place given unto you. Your job may be small and often unnoticed, but if you do your best, your reward is equal to that of the most distinguished hero whose work is acclaimed by this world. One of the things we understand is that when we're saved, we're actually all saved to serve. Otherwise, God would have saved us and taken us on out. But He didn't. He left us here, and He's got a purpose and a plan for our life. And I want everybody to understand this. You know, there's been those big philosophers of the world, and they sit around scratching their chin, the statue of the thinker with his hand on there. What's the meaning of life? I'm going to give you the answer to the meaning of life. The meaning of life is our purpose in life is to bring glory to God. That's it. I mean, God's not up there for us. We're here for Him. Our purpose in life is to bring glory to God. Now, we can do it in a lot of ways, and you know, God doesn't call everybody to be in full-time Christian service. All these people that we brought up here, other than myself, have other jobs and work in the secular world. At the same time, you can bring glory to God in that area. Whatever we do, whatever God gives you to do, your hand, I can't get the verse out exactly, but whatever God gives us to do, what our hand to do, we're supposed to do it all for the glory of God. And so, we do that by serving God and serving others. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 35, I'll just read this to you. You don't have to go there. 35, he said, for I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. This is Jesus speaking. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee and or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Man, I'm telling you what a verse that is. And it's not saying, listen, that we're saved by doing works, but it's saying that We are as a result of our salvation, we do works, and that when we serve other people, we're serving Jesus Christ Himself. When you serve any of the least of His brethren, He said, that we are serving Jesus Christ Himself. I just got a few points on being a servant. The Greek word is doulos, and it means bond slave. And a bond slave did this. He worked to please the master. That's all he did. His whole concern was the master's concern. He had no concern for himself. Dr. Roberson also said this about self. He said, four things come from following self. Four things. Laziness, and the second one is important, disruption of Christian service. From serving self, disruption of Christian service, false teaching, and the last one's important too. Well, they're all important. Fleshly sins. Fleshly sins. And I'm telling you, you think about it, when you get to serving self, I'll tell you what's going to happen. When you're serving self, you're not going to serve God. When you're serving self, you're going to get involved in fleshly sins or sins of the flesh. So I got just a few points about being a servant I want to talk to you about this morning. The very first point is this, and it's not exhausted by any means, just some things I wanted to say. Number one is, it's Christ-like. It's Christ-like. Serving God is Christ-like. In John chapter 13, verse 4, this is talking about Jesus. It said, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, for he saith, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he saith unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he has sent him. Can you imagine the shocked look on the disciples' feet when they didn't understand all of who Jesus is and was at that time, as we did, but they did call him Lord. Can you imagine the shock when he stooped down to wash their feet? And Peter kind of expressed it all. He said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. It's just not a place for you. Now, the custom was this. There was a custom in that day, if you went to somebody's house, that they could stoop down and wash your feet. It was considered a show of honor. But here also, it was seldom ever done. You can understand why. And I don't want you washing my feet, you know. But I'm saying it was seldom done. People didn't want, you know, they seldom did it. But Jesus was teaching a lesson in humility. We understand that. But he also taught this, that a servant is not greater than the master. Now, Jesus came to serve his Father. And he said, so I'm not greater than my Father in that sense. I'm going to stoop down and wash the disciples' feet. He's not, you know, he's not greater. And so he sent here. What he was saying was, listen, I was sent here to serve and to serve you. That's what I was sent to do. And so he was trying to get that point across to them. I'm doing my Father's will. I want you to do my Father's will. You know, it said in our text that I originally read there in verse 26, it's if we serve him, it says we will follow him, and where he is, we shall be. Well, where was Jesus? Jesus was serving. He was serving the disciples. He was actually serving them. Is there? And he said, so it will be where it's like Christ. We'll be like where he is. And Jesus was always, always in the place of service. Now, the second point we'll see is that it demonstrates love. John 21:16 says this, and Jesus was speaking to Peter. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. See, Jesus is saying this. He said, if you love me, do what I called you to do. He said, I want you to love my sheep. I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to care for my sheep. He said, if you love me, this is what I want you to do. You love me? Peter said, yea, Lord, you know I love you. He said, I want you to do what I called you to do. I want you to feed my sheep. And when you fed the sheep, you know, the shepherd picture, they cared for the sheep. They watched over the sheep. They protected the sheep. They led them to places, the right places. I mean, that's what he said, I want you to do. If you love me, do what I called you to do. Jesus called himself the good shepherd. If you love me, you know, love my sheep. And the Bible tells us by this, by love shall all men know that you're my disciples. You know, if you have love for one another. Love is an action word. And, you know, the Lord spoke about, another thing the Lord spoke about was people that honored him with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. I want you to understand this, that I'll guarantee you the people that had their hearts far from the Lord, but they honored him with their lips, I'll guarantee you they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything for the Lord because, see, if your heart's not in it, the heart, the seat of your emotion, if your heart's not in it, you can't do it. You just can't do it. And if your heart's in it, you'll automatically do it. And so if their heart's there, Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Galatians 5:13, by love serve one another. And so that we show that, you know, it shows the Lord that we love him when we serve him, and by serving him, we serve others. You know, we serve fellow man. I'll say something about that in a minute. In 1 John 4:7, he said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." You know, service, of course, I said, is not salvation, but it certainly can be a proof of salvation that we serve with, you know, a loving heart out of desire, wanting to do something for the Lord. He did so much for us. Another thing we see, the third point, is that this service is spontaneous. And the Bible's full of people that had the call of God upon their life, and immediately they began to serve God. Immediately they did. I probably didn't get everybody in the Bible, of course, but several of them. Elisha, you remember Elisha? And Elijah went and he threw his mantle on Elisha. And Elisha had a few words with him there about some things, but it said immediately that he went and Elisha slew, he was plowing with oxen, that's what he was a farmer. He slew the oxen and took the instruments, the plows and everything, and he made an altar and he sacrificed them oxen. And what he was saying was, I'm going to serve God the rest of my life, I'm no longer going to be a farmer, I'm not going to do that. He got rid of the old life. There's a whole lot of illustrations in that text. But he got rid of the old life. He said immediately, you know, he followed Elijah. Of course, we know he was his servant and for a while, and then he took Elijah's place. But he did that, and immediately after doing that, he started serving God, and he started serving people. Peter and Andrew, Jesus said, "Follow me." And the Bible says that immediately they forsook their nets. That's what they did. They were fishermen. Immediately they forsook their nets, and they followed Jesus. Just right off the bat. Peter's mother-in-law, that's a great illustration there. Remember, Peter's mother-in-law was near death and with a fever, and Jesus went to the house and he healed her. And this is an amazing thing. It said, immediately she arose and ministered unto the men. And I was, you know, picturing sanctified imagination. You know how most of us would have been. We were sick near death. And then, you know, somebody healed you and you lay in and you think, well, you know, can you bring me another Coke and can you rub my feet and my back's hurt? You know, can you help me, you know, bring me something to eat? And you know, we end up getting ministered too because we just got over our sickness. It said that she, immediately after she was healed, now, buddy, I'm telling you, that's complete healing. I don't think she had any hangover of the sickness, no leftovers. Immediately after she was healed, she got up and she started serving the other people. I mean, right there, started serving people. I mean, just right off the bat. I mean, you know, note she didn't call in sick. In other words, I put a little note down about that. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, right after he met Christ, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he told him, he said, "Now, you know, I'm Jesus, the one you've been fighting against." He said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" First thing on his mind. He didn't say, "Well, you know, I got to get trained. I've got to get, you know, more education. I've got to, you know, I got to wait a little while. I kind of got to ease in, you know." He said, "What will thou have me to do?" And then later, right after that, it says in the next page, it said, immediately he preached Christ in the synagogue. Man, he didn't have a Bible course. He didn't have anything. He didn't have any excuses. He just went and preached Christ right off the bat. He loved the Lord and he was going to do all that he could do. Of course, there's also been reluctant servants. Remember old Jonah? You know, Jonah, God wanted him to go to Nineveh and preach. You know that story, right? Tried to run from God. And God said, "No, you are the one." I always wonder why he didn't get somebody else, but he said, "No, you're the one." Think about that in your own life, you know. There's something, I think there's something that God has for you to do that you're the only one that can do it. Amen. Or you're the only one that God wants to do it. God could have got it. Jonah didn't want to do it. He went 1,000 miles in the other direction. Or tried to go 1,000 miles in the other direction. Why didn't God just get somebody else? He said, no, Jonah, you're going to do it. And he prepared a great fish, didn't he? Huh? God's got his ways, huh? The Ways and Means Committee. He got his way. He followed up. And of course, you know what happened? He was swallowed up. You know, God changed his mind. I believe getting swallowed by a whale would change your mind. I mean, it just would, huh? Amen. Now, service, of course, I said it's to Christ and men because it's not really separated. But I wrote it down for sake of this to get it separated. Ephesians 6:6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know, every Christian is to view himself as a servant of Christ. You know, I don't know how you view yourself. You know, if somebody said, what are you? What would you say? You know, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, you know, plump, you know. We're to view ourselves as a servant of Christ. There's some other words. Ambassador would be a good one. But we're to view ourselves that. I think that'll change some things. And you know, when we usually relate to service as kind of as it applies. We had the people that serve up here standing in front of the church, and we know, you know, we see Paul singing, leading the singing, and if you turn around and look back there, you see Daryl and Eileen doing and people doing the things that they do. And when we usually think about that, but you know, really, it applies, serving Christ applies to the everyday task of life on your job, whatever it is. You know, there's no distinction between the secular and the spiritual. We're saved. You know, we're saved and we're servants of Christ. No matter what else you are, if you're a Christian or you are to be a servant of Christ. And I think you ought to be the best at whatever you do for this testimony right here. If you're working on an assembly line, putting something together, I think you ought to be the best assembly line worker that you can possibly be. You know, you ought to be your best. I mean, on time, work late, you know, whatever. You know, you ought to do the best you could do because that is a testimony to Jesus Christ. I mean, it ought to be such, and it was. And there's, if you ever study this in the New Testament, in the Bible, but there was people. They were such good. They were Christians. They were some of them even Christian slaves. There was Christian workers. They had such a good work ethic. They were so dedicated. That people were looking for them. There were people that wanted Christian slaves because they knew how that they worked and worked good. I think you ought to just be the best whatever you can be and not be a slacker because that has a testimony in itself to Christ and it represents Him. So, you know, do it. When you're actually working on a job, whatever you're doing, I mean, you have a boss and you may be doing work for somebody, but the way the Bible teaches it is that we're to act as if we are working for Christ Himself. We're doing this specific job for Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. Working for Him, not more so than the man that you actually, may be working for. And so I think, you know, that's an important thing. Colossians 3:24 says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. We are serving Jesus Christ. Then also to men. As was said, Jesus Christ came to serve men. He was love. He had compassion. He he met needs. And He wants us to be like Him. Mark 10:43, it says, but so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Read a verse, parallel verse to that a few minutes ago. Mark 10:44 says, and whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. Everybody wants to be the chief, right? Whoever's going to be chiefest will be the servant of all. You know, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, y'all are familiar with that parable. There was a man that fell among thieves, and the Bible says that he was wounded and he was left for dead. And a priest came down the road and he saw him, and the Bible says that he went by on the other side of the road, passed the guy, just left him laying there half dead. A priest. And then it said a Levite came along and he did the same thing. Saw him laying there wounded and dying. Said he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan came by and it had compassion. And he went and bound up the guy's wounds. Poured in oil and wine and set him on his own beast. Took him to an inn. Gave the innkeeper some money. Said, you know, take care of him. And if he owes any more money when I come back, I'll take care of it. Take care of the bill. And Jesus asked the question. He said, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him, that man? Of course, they answered right. You know, they said it was the one that bound up his wounds. That Samaritan right there. See, if you serve Christ, you're going to be serving your fellow man. That's how we serve Christ today. I mean, what does God need? You know, Jesus, what does he need? He doesn't need that anything in the physical sense from us. I mean, he wants our worship, of course, but he doesn't need anything. It's man. It's man. That's who he came to serve. And then this point here, everybody serves somebody as well. You know, Luke 16:13 says, no servant can serve two masters. For either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is speaking about money there. But here's the two things really that come out in a little bit deeper is, you know, everybody, you're either serving God or you're serving yourself. Those are the two you serve, either God or yourself. And you can't serve both. And that's what he's pointing out. You know, if you're serving yourself, you can't serve God. And if you're serving God, you won't serve self in that line. Friday night, Paul Delaney, he spoke to the young people there, and he had a little lesson there, and there was a key word, and it was this thought about commitment. And he was asking all the young people, he said, what does commitment mean? You know, and they had good answers. I mean, they had good answers. They knew what it meant to be committed. You know, they said some other words came out of that, faithfulness, obedience, love. I mean, we talked about that just a little bit as we talked to them. And so all those things are required to be the servant that we should be. Faithfulness, obedience, love, commitment. All those things, you know, come up when we think about that. And so, you know, it's what the Lord wants us to be. If we're where He is, if we follow Him, we'll be where He is. And even in this time now. And where He is, you know, still meeting people's needs. Where he'll be. I said at the beginning of the message and that the Christians that we have that are serving are second mile Christians. And Matthew 5:41, the Bible says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Y'all are familiar with that verse. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Now, that word compel is a strong word. That word compel there means force. Whoever will force thee to go a mile is what it's really saying. Go with him twain or two. Under Roman law, a Roman soldier could force a citizen to carry his burdens for 1 mile. In other words, a Roman soldier's got a pack on his back and he's going down the road and he gets tired and Billy's just one of the citizens. He's not in the army. He said, hey, right here, carried his pack. But all he could legally do was make him carry it 1 mile. 1 mile, man, dropped the pack. And you remember when Jesus was crucified, the Bible says that they compelled a man named Simon to carry his cross. Amen. It's the same word. They could only force Simon to carry that cross for 1 mile. Might only have been a mile left or less than a mile, but they could only compare them when you think about that. But can you imagine a soldier who compelled a person to carry his burden for 1 mile? And then they get to the milepost and the soldier says, okay, that's it. That's all, you know, you don't have to carry it anymore. And that person turned and looks, no, man, he said, I'll carry it another mile for you. How about that? Can you imagine what that Roman soldier was thinking? You know, what? Yeah, I care about you, buddy. I'm going to carry your burden 1 more mile. You know what that Roman soldier, what would have happened instantly? Instantly, you would have had somebody that would have been open to you sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to him, to his heart. Instantly, that person would have said, man, I've never had anybody respond this way. I've never had anybody do this. You say, no, I want to carry it another mile. I want to carry it another, maybe even another mile, whatever it would take. He would be bewildered, but he would be open to the gospel. See, a second mile Christian is one that does more than is required. As a matter of fact, the Bible has a whole lesson on an unprofitable servant. The unprofitable servant only did exactly what was required. See, and I heard an illustration this way one time. If you on your job, if you just did enough on your job just to pay for your salary, you would be an unprofitable servant. That common sense tells us, you have to do more than that. You got to make the man, you got to make the boss man money. You got to make, or else you'll just be an unprofitable servant. Jesus wants us all, I think, to be second mile Christians. He doesn't want it in tithing. He doesn't want you to sit down with a calculator and come out. He teaches this. He doesn't want you to sit there and come out, oh, it's, I need $39.42. How am I going to get a half? That's not what he's talking. He said, as God has so prospered you. You know, he wants us just to give out of love. You know, he wants us to give in every area, not only financially. I mean, he wants us to do it that way, to second mile Christian. That's what the servants that we have, almost every single one I read a list off of, does something more than one thing. You know, more than one thing. And, we can be thankful for that, that we have people that'll do that to get those things done. I wanted to recognize them. I wanted us to look at today about viewing ourselves, seeing ourselves as a servant of Jesus Christ, seeing that. And, the phones are popular today. to see that and to understand that, we're serving somebody or something. We're serving Christ. We're serving ourselves, somebody, but we're going to be where Christ is at, then we'll be serving each other. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke to your heart this morning about something. Hey, it could be anything. I know this wasn't necessarily a salvation message, but I've preached messages before when